Good morning, Rabbi Galperin.
Good morning, Ilan. How are you?
I am good. How are you?
Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. I got to be careful now. I'm talking to a big Windsor celebrity.
Come on. A Jewish Windsor celebrity.
Exactly.
Parashat Vayeshev.
Parashat Vayeshev is a fascinating parash. You know, we talk about how Jacob settled in Hebron with his 12 sons, and his favorite son out of all the 12 is his 17-year-old Joseph, whose brothers are very, very jealous of him, you know, from the treatment he receives from his father. Everyone knows that his father made him a beautiful, many-colored coat that Jacob made specifically for Yosef, and obviously the brothers were jealous, you know, how come he's getting the special treatment? And Yosef relates to his brothers the dreams that he had, you know, explaining that his brothers and everything is going to be bowing down to him. And obviously the brothers have their increasing hatred towards him and envy. And that's what I was thinking about talking about. But you know, if you just go look further on in the parsha, you know, Joseph is taken to Egypt and his brothers want to sell him, get rid of him, and you know, they throw him in a pit, and they come back and they tell the father that, you know, that the wild animals ate it, and they show him the coat is immersed in goat's blood, you know, this looks like a human's blood. So they try to get rid of Yosef as much as they could, and eventually Yosef lands up in jail because Potiphar, which is one of the ministers in charge of Pharaoh's houses, Potiphar's wife claims that Yosef tried to come on to her, and he denies it, and they put him in jail. And you know, when he's in jail, he meets the chief butler and the chief baker, and you know, he interprets the dreams. And then, as we're going to see next week, Pasha, how Yosef becomes superior and a big minister in Egypt. But the question is rarely asked: is why did Yosef rarely relate his dreams to his brothers if he knew that they hated him? What he's trying to do, and put more fuel to the fire. You know, you don't try and do those things if you know someone's going to hate you. Hello?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Hold on, I just want to make sure I was on air.
Yes, you are.
Okay. So, the question asked is, why did Yosef relate his dreams? And when Yosef was 17 years old, he was a very, very wise man, as Rashi, the preeminent commentator, writes that whatever Jacob learned when he was in the yeshiva in the shame and Avery gave all over to him. So why did he tell the dream to his brothers that your sheaves gathered around and threw themselves down on me, and the sun and the moon are going to bow down to me, and you're representing the sun and the moon, when he already knew that they hated him so much? And we even go, it even goes further. We see that after seeing that they hated him even more, Yosef persists and relates yet another dream. Not only the dream about the sheaves of the ground they're going to gather around you, but he persists and he says, you know, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars threw themselves down before me. And even then, Yosef is not satisfied. What does he do? He relates the dream of the third time in the presence of his father and his brother, hoping that his father would be able, Jacob would be able to explain it to his brother. What could, if we have to try and understand, what could have Yosef's logic been behind trying to do this whole exercise? What did he gain by it? And there are commentators that explain that you can look at this, say, look at at first glance, you know, we can argue that Yosef was unaware that his brothers hated him, but, you know, you can't really look at that aspect because Rashi explains clearly that they wouldn't speak to him quite nicely. Or, you know, that they had this animosity, they didn't really like him. So it wasn't like a hidden thing that Yosef was blinded to it, that, oh, they didn't like him.
Yeah.
He knew quite well. So there must have been some reason why he was trying to stir the pot a little bit. So the explanation is brought down in a lot of Midrashim, a lot of books. It's also brought down in the Kabbalah, that when Yosef saw that his brothers were jealous of him because, you know, Jacob was giving him special attention, made him the special robe, gave him the special wisdom, Yosef would have looked for means, really, if you think about it, to reduce his brother's jealousy. Obviously, he could not deny receiving the robe and the wisdom. So that's a fact. It's right there. You can't say, oh, I didn't receive it, and sort of try and calm his brothers down. But he could have constantly looked for some sort of plan which might, you know, maybe diffuse his brother's anger. He didn't have to say the dream. He didn't have to do these types of things that could provoke him.
He could keep it for himself.
Exactly. You know, when he says, oh, I give you a beautiful colored coat, okay, what am I going to hide? I can't hide it. It's here. So when he had the first dream, it dawned on Yosef that now he had a perfect method in his mind of calming his brother's anger, because he presumed that, you know, that his brothers would take the dream at face value. Because, you know, it's brought down many times that all the dreams that are mentioned in the Torah up to this point came true, you know, in the literal sense. For example, when Yaakov dreamed of the angels did indeed accompany him. Later, when he dreamed that the sheep would multiply, they did that. Similarly, when you see when Avram dreamed that his descendants would go into exile for 400 years, Rashi brings down, we do see that, you know, when they went into Egypt. So every older dreams were happening at the aspect of being at the literal sense. So from this, the scriptures understood that dreams are meant to be interpreted literally. So therefore, Yosef presumed and said, look, let's see. And when he would tell his brothers, your sheaves gathered around and threw themselves down on my sheaves, they would interpret the matter literally. In other words, what are they saying? That his sheaves would be stronger and more valuable than those of his brothers. This is what Yosef thought. That this would really maybe, you know, diffuse, if you want to say, the brother's anger. But they would see that, you know what, the only thing that he's going to be important and his superiority is going to be no more than a matter of being successful in rearing better crops. But that's it. You know, what's the big deal? So he's better in making crops that are very good. However, since hatred, it really hinders a person from being rational. So the brothers did not take the dream literally. Rather, they saw that, oh, this guy, Yosef, he thinks that he's going to reign over us, he's going to be more important, he's going to be a lot smarter than us. And so when Yosef had the second dream, he thought that, you know what, the first dream, okay, they haven't seen the light yet and everything, maybe this will calm his brothers down. But he demonstrated more clearly how they had no reason to be jealous. Why? What was the second dream? The second dream,
the moon
was,
and the sun.
Exactly. So what was he saying? So from this dream, it was clear that Yosef was not destined to have any physical advantage over his brothers. Rather, it's only that the sun, the moon, the 11 stars threw themselves down before me, in other words, before Yosef,
and the
stars are representing the spiritual shadows of his brothers. So big deal. So it was just your spirituality. I wasn't ruling over you. Nevertheless, this plan failed. Yosef thought, now, you know, there's another solution. He would relate the dream to his brothers in his father's presence, hoping that Jacob would explain to them the correct literal interpretation of the dream. However, that also failed. And therefore, you know, the brothers were even angry, Jacob was angry. So therefore, in the final analysis, we see that Yosef did indeed follow a logical path, because he expected that everybody would take his dreams literally. Because, it, you know, told the period and told now, all the other dreams that were given to our forefathers all happened literally. So when his brothers, he hoped that when his brothers would see that while Yosef had received some genuine favoritism, you know, from his father, but it really wasn't anything, it was only really nothing to do with Jacob and everything. It was more the fact that they were jealous, and there wasn't really anything to be jealous about, because all the dreams weren't coming to say that I'm going to lead over you and I'm going to be stronger than you, I'm going to be smarter than you, and I'm going to be the ruler and emperor. It's more the fact of trying to explain to him that, to explain to the brothers, don't worry, it's only more of the take it as a literal sense, which they didn't. And that's where you find, you know, a lot of people in nowadays, you know, sometimes we get blinded by jealousy. We're jealous of what someone has or what someone's going through, you know, they say, oh wow, he just won this, or he got that, or he's got this nice car and that. But at the end of the day, we don't know really why he has it, how he has it, how did he get to that? Did he take out a $1 million loan that he can't even repay? You know, so sometimes we need to be able to take the jealousy that we have and not let it blind us, not let it make us become like, you know, something that can't control.
Yeah.
Right. Something that can lead us and that we can't control. And that was Joseph was really trying to, you know, to show his brothers that, you know, be careful. Don't take everything so seriously. You know, it's only a dream that, which I'm trying to explain to you, is more of the taking it out of a literal sense instead of blowing, you know, out of proportion.
Okay.
That was, I thought, something interesting in regards with the parsha.
Very interesting. Very colorful, this parasha.
Oh, yeah.
Like the cloth of Joseph.
Exactly. So it's beautiful.
So next week we are going to have Hanukkah.
Next week, Wednesday night, the first candle. Right. So Thursday, I thought we would, we'll talk about some interesting facts and, you know, different things of Hanukkah.
That will be great. Please, Robert.
And we're really, really, really getting ready for a week from Monday, the big Kan Menorah, Kenora at the Devonshire Mall. We still have about a week or so left, and, you know, people are still bringing in cans, and if not cans, checks, you know, to help us buy cans. But we're ready, just about under about 1,500 food cans, and it keeps on coming in, and we're growing, and, you know, it's giving a lot of hope to people. You know, we're going to light up a life of many people by giving it to the unemployment center, you know, especially down the times of the economy. A lot of people can use it. And there's going to be a lot of fun crafts and exciting things for the kids to do. There's going to be hot latkes and donuts and lighting of the big menorah. There's going to be music, and it's going to be beautiful. So it's Monday, December 6th at 4 o'clock. And, you know, whoever hasn't brought in their can, they can bring in their can to the Congregation Bethel office, the Shah Shemayim office, the JCC, the Jewish Community Center. You can bring it to the CAW. So there's a lot of places trying to make it convenient as possible for people just to drop off cans and donations, whatever it may be.
From can to can, yes, we can.
From can to can, yes, we can. One life at a time.
That's good.
Hopefully with all the cans that we do. So it's going to be really nice. I encourage everyone to come out. And one more week, eight more days to bring in all the cans. So bring as many cans as we can.
Or money, whatever works for you.
Whatever works better.
That's great.
You know, we have some of the stores that are sponsoring us, you know, giving gift cards so we can go and buy cans. So
yeah, there are a lot of people that need it in the city.
That's right. So it's really, you know, we're really trying to bring everyone together, trying to do this beautiful, you know, program to try and help people that unfortunately are in whatever, you know, need that they are in right now.
Yeah. Rabbi, thank you.
No problem. And next week is Hanukkah, so I'm looking forward to having a good Hanukkah discussion.
Same here. Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you.
Bye.
Be well.